It's a cold wind blowing in the air tonight. My heart's frozen in my chest. There's a cold war going on between us now, and we're looking at a stalemate at best. 'Cause neither one of us is strong enough to apologize. 'Cause neither one of us is wrong. 'Cause neither one of us has got the guts to leave tonight. 'Cause we don't wanna be alone. 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 Oh, you and me and hearts and streets. Who can fix these broken things? Who can put us back together now that we're undone? Now that we can remember how? Tell me, who can fix these broken things? The sky's turning black and my hands are blue. 'Cause I've been holding on to you. Baby, you're the biggest mountain that I yet to move. And I've been praying for a miracle. But neither one of us is not in love. I know that much. We're just two rebels with no cause. And neither one of us is looking for love with no one else. 'Cause we're the only ones we want. 'Cause we're the only ones we want. We're the only ones we want. Oh, 'cause we're the only ones we want. 'Cause we're the only ones we want. Oh, you and me and hearts and streets. Who can fix these broken things? Who can put us back together now?
Welcome everyone to Studio W, The Buzz, and The Soul Savage Show. Hey, that was Toni Braxton, Broken Things. Hey, welcome everyone.
Oh, Tracy.
Your host.
Tracy Braxton.
I'm sorry.
Not Toni Braxton. Tracy Braxton, and featuring her sister Toni, Tawanda, and Trina on background vocals. It's Tracy Braxton, Broken Things.
My bad. Exactly. Tracy Braxton.
I know, it's a lot of them. It's like a 17 sisters. So.
And Evie.
Yeah, what's going on?
We're getting started already.
Yeah, you got your Pinot Grigio in hand. Oh. I heard you playing something. You was playing something. I forgot what you was playing a minute ago. I heard it. It's some old school song. Guys, Pinot Grigio music ready.
Well, it was some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Exactly. The elements. We actually playing Earth, Wind, and Fire song at the end of the show, September 21st night. It's just something about that song. It just puts you in a good mood. Play it all through September. That song is great. I just like playing like theme songs and stuff like that. We need to do that. Play a lot more jazz. I haven't played a lot of jazz, on the show. I think I've played maybe 2-3 songs, but I'm gonna get some like, it's a lot of great, jazz theme, like, about, around autumn. So we're going to play some of in coming up weeks or whatever. So, well, not to come that's an update as well. My pelvis is on fire right now. That's an update. And we need to get into for family updates.
No, yeah, you need to explain that one.
Oh, okay. I've been working out pretty consistently. Been feeling good. Just to keep my energy up, and because you know, whenever I work out, I expend a lot more energy in the projects that I need to get done, like rehearsals, and you know, just you know, work stuff, journalist stuff, and all that other stuff, and then going out, it helps. And so I was like, okay, let me do 2 times a day. Like I was back, like in my college days, because I used to work out twice a day when I was in college. I was like, let me go back to doing that. And then my body was like, oh, you thought you were going to do that. And then I did upper body in the morning, and then late night did lower body workouts. And I did some move, some stretch move I saw somebody do in a what's the things called? Shanti's, I forgot. It's like some like intense workouts for like 30 minutes. And it was like a little plank move where you extend your, it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but I think I pulled something is the basis of everything. And so that's where I'm at with it. I think I pulled something.
EB, EB, this is your chance to get back at her.
It's like shifted. It was on the left side, but now it's shifting to the right now. And so it's like, oh wow. It is so weird. Nobody tells you like you start like feeling, I've never felt like random pain like this. Like I've never felt this like in this area before, but I feel it now. It's so random.
EB, I think you ought to tweet about this and put your twist on it.
Listen, you know right. I am. When I'm done, it's gonna say Q-Man went out and grabbed the wrong guy by the ball.
That was a couple weeks ago. You know, that might be something. You might be on to something there.
Oh man,
that's right.
I think that might have added on to it.
Hey, you. Fake news sales.
Grown folks stuff was happening.
Yeah, you guys already know. Fake sales. Yeah, fake news sales.
Yeah, mind the business. Don't be prying, EB. Y'all my business, okay? Something like that did happen, though. So
yeah.
That might have added to it.
Well, you
spend a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy to give, and so. You
right.
Know,
yeah.
It happens in different facets of life.
I think EB needs to pay you back.
I think he might be right. It might have been that, too.
I think EB needs, EB needs to pay you back anyway. You know that, when you was talking about him promoting his new song, when I go to church, but I still smoke weed.
Right, he needs to pay me back.
You got to appear. Hey guys, so hey, what's on the charts tonight? I know you have something interesting to talk about.
Savvy updates, man. It's more updates with, I know it was a few people that hit me up who was like, they were trying to see if it was really real. I'm like, no, it's not really real. They're still trying to confirm it. Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans. And I was texting people, was like, nope, it didn't happen. And then also, more updates. I was watching, Braxton Family Values the other night. And then I think it's a show called Boss Up, the gossip, publication. They have their own TV, like 30-minute show or hour show comes on after that, and they actually brought that story up. I was like, look at EB. And then, also on The Read, I was listening to The Read, I'm a couple episodes behind, and the one from last week, I haven't listened to this week yet, but I'm listening to the last week's show now, and they actually mentioned it in their Hot Topics, and yeah. And Kid Fury mentioned you, and he called you Ev for president.
Nobody says it right.
Yeah, Ev, he said Ev for president. So yeah, he mentioned you. He mentioned your name on there, your Twitter handle, your name on there on the show. You gonna check it out?
Man.
Did you hear it? Did you hear him mention that?
I didn't hear it. Somebody told me about it, but I didn't hear it yet.
Yeah, it's on. He mentioned your name. He said that's the first thing he said, that it was a joke. And then people just like didn't see it. He said the person that retweeted it was a joke, said it was a joke. And then he said everybody just didn't check their facts, basically.
Right, they ran with it.
Summarize what he said. But yeah, they gave you a little free plug there. So if you got a few followers from there, you know, it was probably from them, you know, looking
up
to
them. I did.
So, yeah, so you thank the Reed. I'm going to try to get one of them on. They seem cool, but they seem like I am. Like, I'm sociable, like, but then also antisocial. And I'm that as well. Like, that's how I describe myself. Because, like, it's just, I have to be in a mood for people. And I'm not usually in a bad mood, though, but I definitely have to be prepped to be talking to some people. So, But yeah. A free plug. You got a free plug on the Reed last week's episode. So, we check that out.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. And more updates. We were talking about summers, and people were telling me the stuff they did. Like, some of them said they were going to they added On the Run Tour, the number two, or what's it called? On the Run Tour,
oh,
or whatever.
Yeah, On the Run
they
two,
added that to their summer, said that was their greatest summer highlight was that concert. I didn't go to. I'm like, I haven't been. They were in Dallas
summer.
Recently. Yeah. They went to Dallas Stadium the what was it, last week or September 11th they were there. But I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm not. Nobody offered me tickets to you know, unless somebody from Ivy Park wants to, you know, just a free plug.
Right, right.
Anytime you want to send us, you know, any kind of tickets, I'm saying this on air now, I would love to go. If y'all still, you know, doing that, Ivy Park, you know, I would still love that. Any affiliate people that's listening to this, I'm just saying, me or EB for Prez are open to it, so.
Yeah, I'm open.
I'm
I need
to meet
you.
I'll go.
We gotta
talk. I'll do it. Yeah, we'll go to it. But, yeah, you do any fun? I don't know if you answered last week. Did you go any concerts or anything fun, like any festivities that are fun for summer? I know you said you mentioned the Black Ass Weekend at, North Carolina?
In North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
other
I forgot what else, but did you go any fun summer concerts or anything, like, you know, festivals?
No, I was just telling somebody. I was just telling somebody maybe yesterday, and I was telling them I didn't go to concerts like I normally go to concerts. I went to one concert this summer, and that was a Mickey Howard concert, and she brought out Melissa Morgan, or Melissa Morgan just happened to be in the audience. And that was like the highlight of my concert series for the summer.
You said, oh, the Melissa and, That's the highlight. I remember you saying that.
That was it. And normally, like, you know, it's summertime. I like to do a little outdoor festivals. You know, in New York, we have they do a outdoor concert series. And they usually have, like, big names, and they'll do, like, free concerts all summer. I didn't go to not one concert this summer. I don't even remember who was here, and I don't know why.
you said it was an outside concert?
Yeah, so, like, they'll do one a week every Saturday for the summer. I think it's Saturday at a different park in New York City. Like, I remember last year Chaka Khan was here. D'Angelo's been before. They'll do, like, Lisa or Big Daddy Kane, Rakim. They'll do, like, big names.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Was it called Rock the Bells, or is it a different one? I'm thinking of.
No, that's a different one, but I do want to go to Rock the Bells. Yeah.
Okay. You said you had fun there?
I mean, when I went before, yeah. I didn't go this year.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
It sounded like fun. It's not like you were saying that you were, like, you was doing all your stuff was boring. It seems like you had an adventurous one.
I mean,
summer, somewhat.
I don't know. It's gone. Like, my friends getting married was really, like, the highlight. Like, and me going to see my mama. Like, that was it.
Oh, yeah, where you said they were, like, being, like, security about the, who's invited and all that
yeah,
stuff. I mean, taking pictures,
Taking pictures.
Right.
I was scared for a minute.
Oh, wow. that scene still sound that was a highlight story. No, the one that you had I think was a summer story where you saying that you went to a kickback at a friend's house and you said that dude that was just like randomly doing stuff that was
Was
that a summer one?
July. That is a summer.
Oh yeah, that is a summer one.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh man.
Right.
Yeah, he was out of line.
That was wild.
Out of line.
Right. That was still that I was like, I could never like imagine going to somebody's house and just doing all that random stuff. Like, and then there's people that do that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I know somebody now that got a house guest, and I don't want to tell the business, but he's hella inappropriate. Well, just, you know, like people that just simple, like regular, like the worst roommate slash house guest you could have of like eating up people's food that don't belong to them. Like, like they're sharing it, but it's like you give them that, but they eat the whole thing. It's like, no, like, you're supposed to leave half. You're not supposed to, like, take the entirety of the food and then eat up
just
all
like,
of the food in there.
I'm eat like, up everything
and
don't buy
a child at this point. They too nice. It seems like they're too nice. They don't want to say nothing, don't want to step on toes because they get, because people that mooch a lot on people, they get very offended when you tell them they mooch a lot. And they just do inappropriate stuff. It's like, I just don't understand people that are just that oblivious to, like, what they do. Like stuff like that. That's, like, inconsiderate people. Like, how are you that oblivious?
I'm convinced they just don't care. Like,
Right. I saw somebody tweeting a picture, and they was like, y'all retweet this, my roommate don't think they're nasty. And it looked like ridiculous in there.
Yeah.
It was like one of them hurricanes that went in there. Like, it was awful. It was food everywhere. Food in the bedroom. I'm like, that was been Chick-fil-A bags everywhere.
Oh,
Lincoln bags. I'm like, nah, you gotta bounce. Like, that's why I never had, even when I was in college, I never had a roommate. When I moved to my first apartment, I didn't have a roommate at all. I was like, nope, I can't do it.
I had one roommate like that before. Like, I remember, this was when I was living in D.C., and I remember one time going, like, to his bedroom for something. I forgot what I needed, and I knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and it looked like a dump. I mean, like, you were talking about Chick-fil-A bag. There was, like, McDonald's bag. There was, like, wrappers on the floor, candy wrappers. There was chicken bones on a plate. One of my forks, you know,
no.
Don't be using my stuff. Empty liquor bottles. I was like, well, what's going on? You depressed? Like, you need to talk? Like, what's going on? That was it. Last time I did that.
Yeah, man. People just lazy and nasty. And I feel like it's an equivalent to your body hygiene. Not necessarily, like, if you, like, an outward smell, but I don't think you take proper, like, hygiene protocols. You know what I mean?
I agree.
If you do stuff like that, if you keep a nasty house everywhere, like everywhere in your house is nasty, like even if like, okay, if your bedroom is not clean, that's fine. But the living room, if you have people coming over and you just like, oh, let me just move like these 17 bottles of Sprite and Dr. Pepper, like you got that scattered everywhere, I'm like, I know you don't keep like good hygiene. Like I know it for a fact. Like, I know you take a shower once every 2 months. Like,
yeah.
I feel like baths once a like people, like, I remember I made a joke. I said, I was like, your man crush Monday. I didn't start doing savvy shout outs, like, people that man crush Monday thinks about taking a shower, but then he never does. He just thinks about it. Like, I feel like that's how some people live. Like, they just think about, like, yeah, I'm going to take a bath. Nah, I ain't going to do that. And women, too. Is someone asked you? Gender is not gender specific at all. Like, people, it's all around nasty.
You are absolutely right.
I don't, the thing about it is giving a bad taste, like making me smell musty people. Like, I remember somebody was just so ripe in the store. Like, I hate people that come from the gym or from work and have, now I always want, I think I said this on the show before, like, I didn't know what outside was because that's what, I'm from country, like Midwest.
Yeah.
Like, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Where my grandmother and them, and my aunts and uncles, everybody say, like, once you come in from school, go take a bath and go put your night clothes on and take your school clothes
off. Like
that was a big deal because you smell like outside. And I never knew it until I smelled somebody. I was like, you literally smell like you came from outside. Like, I finally get it now. I was like, yo, my God, you smell like outside. Like, you literally smell like 17 Toyotas, 12 Altimus, like you smell like outside, like up with the gas. Like, I mean, if you go take a shower before you come to the store, like that kind of bad.
That's disgusting. I can't believe people live like that. And they're comfortable.
People like that. They're comfortable in it. It's like, and then there's other funky people that, and then I realize they come in groups too. Like, funky people in groups, I see that a lot. Like, y'all roll in groups.
That's a funky bunch though.
Cause then they don't, then, cause
oh
you can't, cause they can't, if one of them is dirty and the other one's clean, then they obviously got to tell, hey, the dirty person, you smell like unlit, Marlboros. And that's not a good, you smell like unlit Marlboros. So I mean, if you go, but if it's two dirty people, they immune to it.
So oh my
they used smell to the smell. Oh, you know, people got certain smells to them and they just used to the funk. And it's like,
oh,
that's a distinctive smell that I'm used to. I don't know why we just got on a 5-minute rant about funky people. But
I don't know either.
I need to go put on some deodorant again. Like, again, like just thinking about it.
Wow.
Like, this musty, dirty people, they just be out in the store. It's like, you really need a detergent that bad. Or not even just, like, cleaning products, but you need them Doritos, like, right now.
Man.
Like,
man, oh, man.
Man. And I'm trying to tell you, and then before we get off this, because I want to give her couple of listeners shout outs, or a few of them, because we got like 18 of them. I'm trying to find it. But to the people that, I feel like, I said this on the show before, it's a correlation. All y'all gotta do is look at people in the stores and what they buy. Like, if you see people that buy their animal food products with, like, with human product, like food, if you see them buy human food with animal food, they keep a dirty house. Just look at, I want everybody listening. Wherever you are on Studio Buzz right now, wherever in the world, if you're listening in your car, if you're at the gym, wherever you're at right now, next time you go to the grocery store, look at the person's cart that's going by. If they got dog food, cat food, parrot food, any kind of animal product in there while they buying Cheetos and Little Debbie snacks, if they got all that in there with animal food, they keep a dirty house.
Oh my God!
Kulan,
did you Google this? I mean, where are you getting your facts from?
No, this is just my observation. I just go in the store and you look at people's carts. I'd be like, yo, like you look like you keep a nasty house. Like, I know the roaches is waiting for you to put that sandwich down so they can get a piece of it. Just a love offering of that food. I know that the roaches are sitting right there waiting for your sandwich to go down.
You know, when we go
right
to,
there.
When we go to break, I'm gonna Google that when we go to break. I'm gonna find out if there's any correlation, okay?
Right. Look, you can Google it. I feel like it's proven scientific theories of this, of like dirty people that keep, like, that buy certain foods.
Oh,
like, just look at it. I'm just telling you. Just keep it in your head. And then the next time you go to the grocery store, just look at the people buy animal food products with their food products.
No.
And see how they look and see if they look, unkept or not.
This is
That's
crazy.
All I'm saying.
How in the world did we get here? How did we get here, Kulan?
I don't know how we got here. I don't know what we were talking about before that. Oh, we were talking about summer concerts. I don't know how we got on, hygiene. But get back to concerts. I went to a lot of concerts this summer. I think the most memorable one that I remember is the Babyface, Brandy, and I think it was Raheem Devon concert. I think I missed both of their sets because I think I got jammed up somehow. I think I caught like the end of Brandy's set because she was before Raheem Devon. I didn't want to see him no way. I'm not really a big fan of his, like, anyway. It's like, you know, like some, like, openers is like, you know, who cares? Like, I didn't come to you, no way. Yeah,
Brandy went before Raheem Devon?
No, she went after. No, I said he was the opener.
Oh.
My bad. I don't know how I strung that together, but I was saying that Raheem was the opener, and I caught, like, the end of Brandy's, like, she had, like, 4 to 5 songs, or whatever, from her first album, and then she mixed it up with the last one she did, 2:11. I was like, oh, this is a pretty good set. She used a couple musicians, whatever. Raheem said, I didn't see any of it at all. But I was like, I was just saying that I didn't want to see him no way. So it was just like, all right, whatever. I mean, no shade. I'm just saying, like, he releases the same album, like, every time. It's like, how many times can I, like, hear the same album? I'm just saying, nah, That's just me. That's my opinion. But Babyface killed it as usual. I've seen him so many times. It's ridiculous. But yeah, his band is crazy. I'm probably gonna get his bass player on. He's fantastic, Andre. I'm gonna try to get him on the show. He still tours with him. I think he did the overseas tour he did. I think he's like his all around musician whenever he does tours and stuff. So that was pretty fun. And then it was some more. Who else did I go to? I think it was another Frankie Beverly and Maze one. I saw them last year too, but that was fun. I saw them again.
A concert I would love to see. I would love to see Babyface and Raphael Sadiq get together and go on like a joint tour.
Oh yeah, that'd be dope. That'd be dope as hell.
So they would.
And then we had Charlie Girl. That would be like a mecca, because Raphael does like some Tony records. He doesn't do all, but he do records that most people didn't know he did. Sometimes he does D'Angelo's. Some D'Angelo records, and then some.
Yeah,
I know for sure he's done Totals, Kissing You. That's the joint.
Yeah, they should.
My
they
favorite,
should go.
Favorite like, of his.
But they got their own hits, but they have written and produced hits for so many other people. That would be a concert, and no matter what city they go to, they can always have a special guest. Like whatever artist is there, they've written for or produced for, will always be able to come out. They can make some money.
Yeah, they make a whole lot of money, and Raphael does pretty big tours too. He don't do no little small spots. He does small spots, and he does like big theaters and arenas too. So that'd be worth the money. But a lot of people, I know Tony still, the ones that got Raphael, is still, I know,
yeah,
I saw them. I actually saw them this year, but, I think I missed them, but I just remember I'd seen them backstage, like at, it was in L.A. I think it was at the Hollywood Bowl. I saw them. They were there. But that was a while ago. But, yeah, that Raphael, that one, that Babyface one, that would be pretty lit. And he's on tour now with Charlie. We had Charlie Barone some weeks ago, and both of them on tour together. Charlie's opening for him. And then Raphael's actually performing his song with him. So he always, likes performing. He's like a... does the same thing like Prince does. Like, he always, whether or not, who's ever there, he'll just be playing guitar. Like, he'll just sit there and play bass or guitar and then just do background vocals. Like, he's dope.
Right.
But, yeah, right now, what we're going to do, we're getting ready to have a gospel singer on named R.A. Quartz, a.k.a. Ronald Quartz, gospel singer on in the next 5 minutes. So when we come back from break from this next song, we'll be interviewing gospel singer Ronald Quartz. So, well, if you're ready, we've got to go to break, and we'll be back.
Oh, happiness here when you're holding me.
getting older.
That's real nice. Tracy Braxton on Earth. And welcome back to the Soul Savage Show with E.B. and Q. Lynn Green.
Hey, excuse me, I got a little spider web in my throat. Sorry. I should have got some water while I was gone. But we're back, Soul Savage. Sorry, I got all kind of cobwebs in my throat, but we are back, Soul Savage Radio.
EB, that's material. That's material, EB.
It is. I'm loving it.
Hilarious. Listen, y'all, I'm trying to get it together. We have guests on, okay? Very guests on.
Behave yourself. Okay, behave yourself, all right.
No, you behave yourself, sir. Okay. We are back, Soul Savage Radio. And our lovely guest, interview guest is on. He's a gospel singer. He's a fantastic song out. And we just gonna get right to it. Y'all welcome on the show, Mr. Ronald Quartz. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
We got the top story. We got that on the budget, so he just does that automatically. I envy it. It's a welcome to the show, those claps. So we got it in the budget now. So. How are you doing today?
I appreciate that. Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, no problem at all. I mentioned his song before. When I first heard it, I was like, it's called So Good. And it is so good. I was like, is this R&B? Because I liked the rhythm of it. I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool. And then I listened to the lyrics. I was like, this is a pretty cool song. So I was like, why not? You know, bring on the show. This is a great song. And we talk about your artistry or how you got into it from gospel. Like, what made you want to become a gospel singer?
Initially, when I started, I was singing just for the fun of it, really, just because I had a passion for music. And it didn't really become a serious thing until I gave my life to the Lord. And once I did that, He gave me a purpose. what's behind my singing and behind what I wanted to accomplish with it. And so once I had the purpose and the understanding of why I was given the gift, and it wasn't just a hobby like, you know, other things that I might have picked up, then I started to look at it a little more differently, like it was a calling, like it was something that I was supposed to do and something that could help other people. And so, that started the journey of writing music and starting to get into the production side of music and those things, the business side. But I've been leading praise and worship at my church now for about 13 years. So I was doing a lot behind the scenes before I ever, released a song at all.
Oh, wow. And what is it about this, or just the creative process? Like, what is it that you're trying to engage with? I guess trying to get both worlds of, was it like a intentional thing to, like, not necessarily say modern gospel, but just that sound like that's not so traditionally gospel? What made you, like, say, was it intentional for you to say to make this kind of gospel music, or was it just the creative process?
Well, for me, because I wasn't necessarily raised in the church, the traditional gospel sound didn't speak to me when I first heard it. So I wanted to make something that, of course, spoke to me, but also spoke to those people who didn't necessarily grow up in the church or didn't have the experience with God first starting out. Now they are with God, and now they're walking with Christ, but they didn't start out that way. And so their palette, their musical palette, might be a little different from someone who was raised in the church. And so I wanted to make sure that, what I put out was a representation of what people could listen to in the church as well as outside.
Okay. What gospel singers are you into?
Say it one more time.
The gospel singers. I said, which ones do you like? Or what sound of gospel do you like?
Oh, that's a great question. I like Jason Nelson. I like I like Jonathan Nelson. I like Doobie Powell. I like Rashawn Mitchell, Anthony Brown. I like Travis Green stuff. I like Jonathan McReynolds. That's just to name a few. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Evie, you go ahead.
Yeah, you said that you weren't raised in the church, and I just think that's one of the most interesting things, because in my mind, most gospel singers, they're quote-unquote homegrown in a sense. Like, they were raised in the church, they went to church with their grandma every Sunday, like that. So why gospel? What was the moment that you said, because you have an amazing voice, so what was it that made you just, not go the R&B route or the jazz route? Why the gospel route when you weren't raised in the church?
Well, that's a great question, man. I mean, my experience with the church at first was going sporadically. My parents didn't necessarily make me go, but I had a friend who we played basketball together, and his dad was a pastor, so I would occasionally go to his church, but that was when I was younger and I wasn't necessarily living the life. I would just go to hang out with my friends. So I go to college, and I don't really go to church in college because I didn't really care for the church on campus. Once I graduated, I met a guy who had a barbershop, and he started having church in his barbershop. He was a pastor. And once he invited me out, I kind of stood him up a few times. And then I said, let me go ahead and go. So I went, and it changed my life. And that was in 2006. And it changed my life. And as soon as I began working in the ministry, in the music ministry, working as a worship leader, working as a musician, it made me feel like my gift had purpose. And so before I got saved, I was singing, for the ladies, or I would sing to get you know, accolades of some kind, you know, to get notoriety. But at the end of the day, I noticed that I felt so empty, and I felt like my gift was being exploited. Like I felt like I was being used. It wasn't until I got saved, until I gave my life to Christ, that I begun to feel like my gift had a meaning bigger than myself. And once I started to put it to use and put it, you know, to use it for the purpose it was made for, that's when the fulfillment came. And that's where I started to transfer what I did in the world, you know, in the R&B or the neo soul setting. That's when I started to transfer that to the gospel setting. And it wasn't necessarily something that I tried to sound like or tried to do. It was something that I literally just switched teams. I was on one side for a long time. Once I got saved, I no longer wanted to be on that side, and so I came to the other side. And it was the best decision I've ever made. So that, when I say I wasn't raised in the church, that's what I mean. Because I'm a late bloomer when it comes to that. I didn't get saved until I was probably like 22. That's when I began to, you know, start working in ministry.
I think that makes a big difference in your music versus the music of other artists, because like you said, you weren't necessarily raised there, but your music, it still conveys the message of the church, and it speaks to everybody. It makes your music more relatable because, you know, a lot of the people, you know, we listen to, whether they be R&B, gospel, rock, no matter what genre, that was their genre. That was what they were raised in. That was their environment. So it's harder for other people who weren't in that environment, who weren't raised there, to relate to their music. And I think that's great that you do that. Now, every artist, they have something that they want people to take from their art. What is it that you want your fans and your listeners to take away from your music?
No matter what music or the sound that I put out, I would love for people to take away that they can have a closer relationship with Christ, and that there is a God who cares for them. There is a God who wants to have them in his life, and who wants to have a relationship with them. And so regardless of the sound that they are hearing, I would love for them to have the message, you know, be put in their heart. It says that, you know what, I can have a relationship with Christ, or I can make sure that, you know, something as simple as believing that you can still go on, believing that you don't have to give up, that you don't have to throw in the towel, that yes, it's gotten hard, but God is still so good. There were times in my life where I made wrong decisions, times in my life where I didn't have it all together, pride got the best of me, but at the end of the day, I can still look up and say God is so good. And so that's the main thing. I would love for my music to point everyone who hears it back to Christ.
I love it. And I have one last question. Have you always known that you could sing? Like, what was your earliest memory of singing and music, or singing or of music?
My mom was in the army, and so we lived all over the place. And I was in Germany, and when I was younger, my friends and I, we would go down into the basement of the apartment building that we stayed in, and we'd all sing, I'm telling my age right now, but we'd all sing, ooh, da 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 da, the shy song.
Hey!
If I ever fall in love.
Yeah. That apartment building, man, the acoustics in that basement were amazing. So, you know, we all thought we were recording. That was probably when I was about 9 or 10. And, you know, even when I would hum along or sing along with the radio, I noticed other people, when they would sing along with it, they kind of just haphazardly go along, and they might sing what the singer is singing every now and then. But when I listened to it, that's not how I heard it. I would listen to it, and I try to do every single thing I heard the person singing on the radio, no matter what kind of song it was, or who it was. I tried to do everything they did. So I noticed there was a difference in the way I heard music versus the way my mom heard music, or the way my friends might have heard music. I noticed that early on as well, but I didn't think too much about it. So that was the earliest, I'd say, maybe about 8 or 9.
Wow, that's great. I love that you said that you noticed that there was a difference in the way that you heard music. Like, I don't hear a lot of people say that, and I love it. Q Lynn, you have any questions?
Do you have with this song that's coming out, what can people look forward to with an EP or a full length album, or what was the move after this? Were you planning to do an EP, or what should people look forward to with the album project of yours?
Yes, this song is a single off an EP that I'm working on, so I do have other music that I'd like to put out in this fourth quarter of the year. I'm going to keep pushing the song So Good, but I do have new music coming in 2019, so that's what's going on with me right now.
But what's the creative process? Like, what should they look forward to, like the messaging with the EP that's coming out?
Oh, yes. So a lot of it is, there will be some along the lines of So Good and with that style and that sound, but all of it will definitely be pointing back to Christ. And there, you know, messages about how we can continue to believe in spite of a world or that we see where it's hard to believe. It's hard to have belief in anything positive when you look around today's society. But, you know, there's messaging in there about that. Messaging in there talking about the glory of God, how we need the glory, how there was one time where we're in the presence but not necessarily in Him. And so we want to run back to the glory and get back to the place where we first believed. And so some songs talk about that as well. And then, you know, there's a song in there just called entitled Jesus. It simply talks about Him. It talks about the most important part of our relationship with Him, and that's just being real and being straight up with Him, because He knows all anyway. So being straight up with Him and saying how, you know, we all can have a relationship with Him regardless of how many times we may have said that we don't believe, or, you know, He said He loved us even while we were yet sinners. And so I like to push that message as well.
I giggled just a little bit to myself because it made me think of a relative of mine. He's like really like super Christian, and he doesn't like songs that's not like gospel, like radio friendly songs that don't say God or Jesus in it. And I think it was like a Marvin Sapp song. I forgot what it was. It was Best in Me. I think that's what it was. And he's like,
right.
I was telling him that was my favorite song that was out or whatever, gospel song. And he's like, but do you understand the messaging? And I'm like, can you calm down? Yes. I do. But it made me think of that, like, because he makes a big deal about, like, Jesus and God being the gospel. I'm like, will you calm down, like, 10 notches? Because he gets, like, very, like, apprehensive about it. But it just made me laugh thinking about that. But we're going to get a little bit into this. That's great. I can't wait. Look forward to listening to your EP. But we will do right quick. We're going to get you right into we got this game we play with all, I guess, that come on. It's pretty much a judgmental game. I know that goes against everything in the biblical sense of what, but this is a judgmental game. And so I'm getting you right into the heathen portion of the show. It's called the What's Wrong With You game.
It's rigged.
Pretty much.
The game is rigged.
You can ignore everything that our producer / engineer just said. It's not. It's actually a great game. I'll make it to where the guest wins. And it's basically an either-or game. You just pick, like, we're playing both songs. It's not vocal comparisons. It's just artists that you listen to more of in your music. Or if you don't, just songs that you just like from more than others. So, the first one, Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye.
There you go. You're talking right. OJs or The Whispers?
Oh, The Whispers.
Thank you. Talking right. You're getting triple for that. I always give people triple when they pick The Whispers. And you pick The Whispers, so you get triple. Okay, Prince or Rick James?
Oh, Prince.
There you go, you're talking right. Either way, like I said, I make up the rules as I go, and so it's like a little tricks and trades in there, so that's a bonus. Either way, if you would have picked which one, it didn't matter. But this is where it switches up right here. like I said, I make up the rules. And so the rules right here is that you can't just pick whatever. You have to pick the right one or the judgment follows. And so first one is Michael Jackson specific, Off the Wall or Thriller?
Ooh-wee. Off the Wall.
You talking right. You talking right. Okay, next one. Patty or Aretha?
Oh, boy.
Oh boy. Q Lynn, you ain't right. You're supposed to have my back on this.
I told you.
No, just talking right and then the judgment follows.
I told you
just
it was a setup.
Talking right. There ain't no setup. Aretha. You said Patty?
No, I said Aretha.
Yeah.
No,
Aretha.
I thought I heard you said Patty.
Right. He said Aretha.
No, no,
he said Aretha.
Okay.
He said Aretha.
Okay.
He said Aretha.
Exactly. You got exactly 15 seconds to name five Aretha songs off the top of your head.
No. See, I told you it was rigged.
I said I'll make up the rules as I go. So that's you got to name at least, name me five Aretha songs right now.
Definition of rigged.
Okay. No, it's not. Pick five right now. Okay, 15 right seconds now. Starts now.
Natural Woman, I Say a Little Prayer, Rock Steady, and Ain't No Way.
That's right.
No, you just name a song. You just put a song.
Why are you mad, Q-Lynn?
I told you.
This man knows.
You ain't picking up. Okay, give me a lyric from, give me a lyric from, until you come back to me. What's your name? No. What's the first one you named? Give me the lyrics to it.
No.
Give me the lyrics to it.
Hey, Evie.
What was the first one you said?
Evie,
whatever the first one you said, give me the lyric for it.
Evie.
Respect.
Give me the lyric to it.
Evie, you going to let her get away with this?
I don't
know. The game is rigged.
Look, these are my rules.
Fucking right.
Okay, let's do it like this. Give us something. Okay, let me do a versus since this ain't going the way I want it to.
That's my point. That's my point. I told you it was real.
You're making my point.
You can't come for me.
Versus, what is it? Give us something he can feel versus that song. Which one you picking?
Say it one more time.
Give him something he can feel, Aretha versus Patty's Love You, Need You, Want You.
Oh, Aretha.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with giving you options to win this game. Something's wrong with you.
On
that one.
Yo, it won.
Something's wrong with you. That's what I'm going with.
He won.
The homegoing service is over with. I was giving passes during that time period. The homegoing service
man.
Is over with now.
See,
oh, man.
I told you.
Something's wrong with you. Okay, the last one. Or I might get a bonus one because you're a gospel singer. I might throw a gospel one in there.
Oh,
that
boy.
Might save you. Okay. Blinding Night or Babyface?
I'd go with
Babyface. Really? There you go, he's talking right. I don't know what you didn't even have to think about that one. Okay, bonus. BB and CC Winans versus Mary Mary.
BB and CC.
That's right.
Hey, you talking right. Cause Mary Mary make music for people that like, going to church drunk, on Saturday night, go Sunday. They make club music. I've actually gotten drunk listening to Mary Mary, God and Me. I thought it was blaming on alcohol. I thought it was Jamie Foxx blaming on alcohol.
My.
I was in club. Just listen to it. It's the same song.
Oh,
I was like,
goodness.
Oh, this song is the jam. And then I thought it was blaming on the goose.
Oh,
got
to
the goose. I thought that's what it was. When I heard God and Me, it's the same song.
Mm-hmm.
But you was going to get a whiz. I conclude. After the save of the baby face and the BB and CC Winans pick, I determined there's nothing wrong with Mr. Wrong Court. There's nothing wrong with him. He got the bonus
God.
One saved him. Because
yeah.
If he got that one wrong,
yeah.
You got what's wrong with you? But you didn't get what's
right
wrong
already.
With you. You won the game.
He had already won.
You mean, I don't care about your win right now because I feel like he ain't talking
he had,
about it.
He had already
like
won.
Just,
knows
I feel like people still in mourning. And I don't feel like he got a natural woman on his playlist. I don't feel like that's happening.
Evie.
I don't think that's true.
Evie.
But thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. Where can we find you on your social media page? So let the people know where they can find you on social media.
Yes, I'm on Facebook at Ronald Court and Instagram at Ronald_Court. And same thing on Twitter, Ronald Court.
There you go. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And with this next song we're going to play is actually from Mr. Ronald Court himself. So good. So thank you so much for coming on. We'll be back, y'all, with 6 minutes of radio.
Things that you've done for me makes me wanna dance to down somebody. You've been good, so good, so good, yeah, so good. There were times in my life I was wrong, so far gone.
So good. Great song. And welcome back to the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W The Buzz. EB and Q-Lin. Q-Lin, you really should apologize to your audience for That game is rigged, and you know that game is rigged.
Not rigged at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
Evie, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Evie, we have to restore some credibility to this show. So, Evie, would you please step
it's
up? You are the co-host
at all,
Evie.
We got if y'all just tuned in, we had our guest on Ronald Quartz. He was on. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
There was a question on the floor.
What's wrong with you? And I just want to interlude that what nothing's wrong with this game at all. It's
no,
quite
nothing's
perfect.
Wrong with him. He chose
if, the listening
right
audience and Ronald is still listening in, this is it's a great game. I don't know. I was trying to make it to where you could win. I don't see how that's cheating or rigging. Because I'm trying to make you win. That's it. That's the name of the game. So
the game
so
is
Mr. Ronald, if you're listening, if you're still listening in. The game is not rigged at all. I was trying to give you chances to win. You just so happened. Okay, you got maybe a -2. You didn't get it wrong. You might have got -2.
No, he got it right. He was honest.
Evie, I don't know what you're talking about.
Evie.
Listen, we're fixing to bypass all of this. Are you ready with your 6 minutes to rage? I'm not fixing to go back. I'm not.
Evie.
I'm living my best life, and I ain't got time to go back and forth with you.
Evie. Evie, are you going to step in?
Listen.
Of course he gonna step in because he's talking about they was talking about Patty versus Aretha. He always gonna step in with that one.
Well, the man.
Every time we do it with our guests, he's gonna step in.
All the right answers.
That's
oh
right.
Oh my God.
The right answers.
That's
so
right.
He's a man of God, and that's a godly answer.
See?
Listen, if you listen to Aretha all day in your playlist, you are an 87-year-old person because don't nobody listen. She got like maybe
what?
Three pot like that's not sad songs.
No.
So, yeah, you basically just be.
We're going to the 6 minutes. We're going to 6 minutes of rage right now.
I'm not. Yeah, 6 minutes of rage.
Right there.
Get to it. 6 minutes of rage, y'all. Fabby, please.
That's right. Because it's outrageous what Q Lynn is doing on this show. It is absolutely outrageous to do that. She comes up with this game, you know, what's wrong with you game? And she said, the game is not rigged. But then she goes back and said, oh, I make up the rules as I go. Folks, come on. Is the game rigged or not? If you do not agree with her, guess what? You lose. Okay, all right. Oh, Keith, speaking of rage, let's go on a national level here. Hey, guys, if you're not paying attention, you very should be right now. One of the most important things are about to embark upon the American society in years. And that is a pick for the next Supreme Court justice. If you're not paying attention, it is hot and juicy. I mean, it includes everything. Drugs, sex, rock and roll. Well, I don't know about the drugs. Rock and roll, attempted rape. And guess what? The guy who is sitting in front of the Senate right now to be your next Supreme Court justice, he's been accused of these things. But you know, ironically, the Republicans are trying to block every effort and want to push this thing through. So the Democrats say, hey, guys, what are you afraid of? What are you hiding? So if you haven't noticed, an accusation came out just last week. It was made public last week. Hey, that this lady, this professor, her name is Ford. Last name is Ford. And Kavanaugh is the guy who's sitting for that seat. Okay. And keep in mind, this is a lifetime position. And it could change a lot of things. Some of these so-called liberties that we have right now, guess what? He could take those away. And the country's in an uproar about this. This lady has had death threats, okay? She had to move out of her home. And guess what? She's also a very accomplished individual in her own right. She has 2 PhDs, and she's a biochemist. And her job is to keep notes. I was looking at something earlier today, is that if you are a victim of a sexual violation or abuse of any time, that memory doesn't leave you too soon. Okay, so check it out, folks, and that's why it's so important to vote. Hey, speaking of rage, Puerto Rico, man, can you tell your president, and I want Q Lynn and EB to jump in on this later after this segment right here. These people are now being blamed, and also the president is downplaying how many people died. They're still And he's bragging, hey, we did a great job. He gives himself an A+, of course. And then, not to count, there's also 1,500 kids still separated from their parents, and they don't know where these kids are. And you got knuckleheads, I mean, complete knuckleheads, like Betsy DeVos and Uncle Ben Rice, Uncle Tom Carson, sitting out there. And guess what? I just found out something today, folks. Do you know that 24 out of his 70 appointees had no experience in housing? And guess what? Neither does he. And they are making salaries up of $90,000 a year and even higher. Oh boy, am I outraged about this? You doggone right. Colin Kaepernick just landed a deal with Nike. We talked about it, touched on it, I think a few weeks ago and even last week. But everybody's upset. You even have black trumpeters that is still, hey, they don't want this man to eat. They don't want him on the football field, and they don't want him to be employed by a private institution. But guess what? Nike is not stupid. Their sales are going up because guess what? They are getting, hey, a bunch of free advertising, and I think in a tune of about $43 million worth because of that move. Brilliant move, Nike. But did you see these reporters, these black reporters that are saying, hey, just like that Jason Whitlock, Humpty Dumpty Jason Whitlock on ESPN. Is he still on ESPN or did they fire his butt yet? He's going to sit up there roly-poly, donut-eating, good Lord, could be a cop in a blue suit. And the reason why he don't wear black is because it will show the donut, powder all over through the camera and everything like that. We need to shut up. Anyway, so, yep. But guess what? They don't want him to work at all, do you? But guess what? Nike, hey, congratulations. And I think that this is a great, great, great move for us involved here. But folks, I'm telling you right now, there's so much scandal going on. You better pay attention. And the best thing to do is to get out there in November. Hey, I tell you what, have a great idea. If you plan on voting, hey, have a party. All right. And in that part, and have that party the night of the vote. And then you invite people in that have voted. If they didn't vote, you don't let them in. Guess what? And get them out there to the polls. But you got so much going on, folks. We can talk about money laundering, tax fraud, bank fraud, blacks for Trump, these knuckleheads. I can't believe it. Paris Denard. Oh, guess what? He is still suspended as far as I know. I need an update on that because guess what? He was charged, sexually charged. Can you imagine all these people around this president and everybody from bank fraud, tax fraud, money laundering, sexual abuse, sexual harassment, boy, insider trading, and guess what? They surrounded him, but he had nothing to do with it. Folks, I invite you, there's a book out there called, The House of Trump, The House of Putin. The author escapes me right now, but I invite you to get that book and to talk about how the president has been groomed for over 30 years to be, an instrument for Russia. Anyway, back to you, EB and Q Lynn.
I forgot I usually be quiet during there, but when he said that, I was like, about, what's his name, Jason Whitlock. I started.
Hey, Humpty Dumpty.
He crying. He called him Humpty Dumpty. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
He built like a Samsung washing machine.
Boy.
Bad built, fat back.
Unbelievable. Wide back. Unbelievable.
Looks like he keep two cheeseburgers on his chest when he falls asleep with cheeseburgers on his chest, everything. He looked like that. He got bigger, he leaves dents in his bedroom sets and stuff.
Yeah. And
you know, his mattress got a big old dip in it because he's so wide.
Right, right. And you know, EB, the thing that gets me is how, you know, people, they're changing the narrative, right? He says, look, it has nothing to do with the soldiers. It had nothing to do with the police. It had nothing to do with any of that. It's about, the country who, are allowing black young men and black people to be killed and ostracized, you know, segregated and things of this nature, underfunded, underprivileged, and, underemployed out here. And these atrocities coming out here. And you know what? People who don't want the truth, they won't hear the truth. I don't care what you try to explain to them.
No, it's wild to me that
they want to talk about everything as a deflecting the issue.
Right.
They don't want to talk about what's happening in this country to minorities, but they make it about the flag, and they make it about the military, and then they make it about not being patriotic and being anti everything else, but they don't want to talk about us being killed, us being uneducated and treated unfairly, us being imprisoned more than anyone else. They don't want to talk about the issue. And that's the, I think that's the problem that I have. It's like every time I was watching, I started watching The View every day now, and I was watching earlier, and they had, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but they had a young cheerleader who is actually suing her school and her town because she was suspended or fired for taking a knee. And I think the thing that angered me most watching the interview was that she never said, "I'm doing it because of this," and the host never acknowledged it. They talked about her military, her family being having a military background. And she said, "I would never want to disrespect the flag or the military." All of that is irrelevant. We are being killed. We are being terminated, extinguished, with no regard for our life. We are still looked at as subhuman. But they make it about everything else because they don't want to look in the mirror and just admit it. So they deflect it to everything else. And that bothers me. I can't do it.
Right. And you know the thing about it, if you, and Q-Lynn, if you really, really think about this, if you are made to put your hand over your heart, what does that tell you? What difference would it be than living in Russia or China or North Korea, where you have to stand? Are you going to tell me I have to stand up and put my hand over my heart? And even if you are a fan and you're sitting in the stands, do you know that you'll get heckled or harassed in some cases if you're not standing with the rest of those knuckleheads holding your hand over your heart? You know?
Right.
And that's crazy. And he wants it to be a dictatorship.
That's it.
You look at Trump.
That is it.
And you look at all of the world leaders that he's trying to align himself with, the ones that he admires, they're all dictatorships.
That's exactly right. And
he wants to kill democracy, and they're going to let him do it.
Well, check this out. When just like my segment
about over here, they are running game. What they doing is wait until November, and like they've done before. The only reason why they said something about, you remember doing the Alabama primary with that guy that was all those child molestation things that was going up. They were still
rocking with him. Yeah, you talk about more
after the fact, and then right, and then when the Democratic candidate won. Then they changed their whole tune on it, and then you saw a lot of different Republican representatives and people like, "Oh, this is disgusting behavior." But they waited until after he lost to try to discredit it, and they're doing the same thing during these November. That's why it's like the mid-election is like the most important. I think Bill Maher said on his show, like, also, and I agree, like, this is the most important one because their whole tune is going to change once they realize that. Ain't nobody really rocking with that. And the only reason why he won is because a lot of people didn't vote. And the numbers prove it because Hillary didn't. I ain't going to keep saying the same thing over and over. She didn't win the states that Obama won. And even in the mid-election, I think this is going to be higher than the one that was in 2012. But just to say that he only won because it was less people that minorities voted than the mm-hmm. I want to say the word so bad, saltines. They voted for Trump. The mad saltines that voted for Trump.
It was, I can't believe it.
Actually, it wasn't equal. It was equal. It was more of them that voted. It would have been more than voted if actual minority votes, mad saltines.
Oh,
but that's what I call it.
Oh my
but
God.
Yeah, it's all tricks and trade until November.
But
and
you
then
know-
once that happens and when everything turns blue, when they lose the House, I don't know about the Senate, but they lose that House.
Oh, Lord. I want
everything's going
to
change.
It's gonna, yes. That's why we have to get out there. You know, I tell you what. And
right,
they have,
exactly.
And a lot of these senators, Q-Lynn and EB, a lot of these senators and congressmen, they have the nerve to look down on prostitutes. And guess what? They're nothing but high paid prostitutes themselves. All of them are whores.
Yep.
They'll sell and
they ain't even worth that much. They ain't worth but $17. An uneven amount of number. That's what they worked in the street.
Well, guess what?
They don't talk about nothing. Dollar would be $17 because they all ugly. And we just talk about physical aesthetics. They all ugly Caucasian men. So that value goes down to -$10 right there.
You know,
you're
not desirable.
Hey, look here.
How are they looking down on prostitutes when they are spending the taxpayer money?
That's right.
Right, to do all that.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
This is what we're talking about.
That's the thing. That's the crazy, like, the always irony with Republicans. Because if you look at their agenda, the only thing that they care about is stuff that they can, that they worried about poor people, taking advantage of the system, when that's all they do with them tax cuts. That's all they do is take advantage of the tax cuts.
And
they
the
don't
tax
want nobody
money.
Else to, because they want that money, the money they put in the Medicaid, they want that money for themselves to go, they want to spend that money to put in their checking accounts. With all those cats, the stocks, what is it, Fargo and all them, Wells Fargo and all them cats, that's all they want to do. They don't want to give no money to their employees that make maybe $9-$10 an hour, whatever the starting pay is for somebody under them. They ain't gonna give them a pay raise, but they gonna pay raise they checking account to where they get a tax cut. That's all it is. And that's all Trump is doing. Like, I thought you were gonna talk about that. See if you saw that Omarosa interview she did with Roland Martin. It made me look at her differently. I was like, oh man, she was plotting. I get like what she was saying, but I was like, she was just doing that because she was friends with Trump, but then also she got like a little diabolical kind of manipulative like intelligence, but like she uses it for like bad stuff, but like she's like really smart and then she's like diabolical at the same time. I don't know how to make that make sense.
You know, I saw part of that
watching that interview. When I watched that interview, she was like saying everything that you said, that's what he did, but it was like she was like, she didn't want to leave. She didn't want to be the person that leave it because he was like, she was like literally, she was saying that she was quoting another a person at the White House that said that it's like a daycare at that White House. And she was like basically saying that she wanted to stay out until her, I guess, contract was up for being at the White House until she left because she said that he was like, they had to like simplify everything for him, like put it in third grade terms for him, and then everything depended on his mood. I was like, this is the president of the United States, and he has the comprehension of a third grader. And I might be discrediting third graders because I might be smarter than him. But how do we have a president office that can't comprehend like confidential information and like high intelligence information? Like, how can he not decipher that? That concept alone is just ridiculous to me. Like, you have to hide papers from this dude because he's gonna sign off on something that's gonna blow a building up or something like that. Like, like, it's crazy. Like, the fact that you have to simplify stuff for this guy is like ridiculous. And she said he has like nicknames for everybody in office. Like, he insults everybody. So you can imagine why everybody gets fired or quit like every other week, because he doesn't respect or have loyalty to anybody. And so they don't have respect or loyalty for him. Just like with all the other, people that have pleaded guilty to, the collusion thing with Russians. All of them, like, don't have loyalty to them because he didn't have loyalty to them, and he insults, like, it's amazing to me that he, like, holds insult at people, and he's, like, the dumbest president, in, like, that's sitting in office right now.
Well, look,
like, you can literally say that. He is the dumbest president we have. Intellectually declined in receiving information. That's crazy to me. Like, we have a sociopath in the office, and he's doing stuff that's basically like, if he likes you on Tuesday, then he'll pass it. Like, you basically have to like kiss it, like have to like be a certain way for him to like you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what we have sitting in the office right now.
Man. Well, you know,
oh man, we gonna thank you so thank you so much for that 6 minutes of rage. You got anything else before we move on to the raggedy
Avenue? Yeah, you know, I hope this thing coming up Monday, that they really don't harm this lady or try to do a character assassination on this lady Monday. Well, it's supposed to be a hearing, and well, her lawyer said that she wants to come and testify. But she's been getting death threats. She had to move out of her home, which I think is crazy. And you know, these same cats, that's on there now, they were on the Clarence Thomas, hearing as well. Some of these same old dudes, right. And they, got him through there. So they want to push this thing through. And it's really, really crazy. But guess what? The lady, the Mrs. Ford, she's asking for an FBI investigation. And the Republicans don't want to have one. So women, hold it. She says, well, how are you going to have the facts? Now, I'm going to ask both of you, would you ask the FBI to be snooping all in your business if you weren't telling the truth?
Sure. The only way they can get in my business is I'm, listen, if I'm coming out, I'm absolutely sure I'm telling the truth, because whatever I'm lying about, I know they're going to find it.
And guess what?
Yeah.
You go to prison for lying to the FBI.
Yep.
Right.
That's why the Republicans don't want Brett Kavanaugh, they don't want his buddies, investigated, because they're gonna lie. If they lie, they go to prison. Yeah. It's really not that complicated.
They're making this whole, Supreme Court, first of all, it should have been Obama's pick to begin with.
That's right. You're exactly right.
That should have been his pick to begin with. And they should have let him do that before he left office. But once again, you're doing, cause this dude gonna be in there forever. Whoever they put in there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, with this scandal now that's going on, I'm kind of 50-50 on it, because they did the same thing with, those picks when they were getting Trump's people in the cabinet, and they did the same thing with their questioning, and they still got through. But with this pick, I don't know. I'm 50-50 with it of if he's gonna get through or not.
It's gonna be close. It's gonna be close.
But there are already
three Republicans that are leaning, against him.
Who?
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, two women and then also Senator Flake. Jeff Flake.
Yes.
All right. So I'm hoping, because you don't want that cat in there, because he's already said, you know, he's against Roe v. Wade, and also he's not opposed to passing something to say a president cannot be charged criminally. That's in his records. So
yeah, he keeps trying to backtrack every time they ask him questions, which is funny, because Kamala Harris.
He's already lied. So I don't see why they're going that far anyway. So anyway, back to you.
Yes, you get to, right, so raggedy news. This has been a big topic. We can get to this first. I think this is the only raggedy news I have. This is a big story. It's different compartments with this raggedy story. So, y'all bear with me while I try to get these facts right. I believe it was, Cat Williams was recently, had some controversy. I don't know where to start with. I think we should start, like, how the interview processed, and then how I saw it, how it, went through, and then get to the details of all of it while we going through it. Okay, Cat Williams was on V103's Frank and Wanda show, Atlanta, that's pretty popular, radio show that comes on, radio network or whatever. And so he was being interviewed, I think he was in town. They usually have comedians that are in town. They usually have them on to promote. That's usually what they're there for. And then they'll ask them any kind of hot topic questions or anything news related that's happened through the week, they'll ask them that. But mostly they're there to promote whatever show that they're there to do in town. And so I think he was at Phillips Arena. I'm not sure. Or, Atlanta's Comedy Theater. I think he might have been on Comedy Theater. And, Red Grant was another comedian that was on. He was being interviewed as well. He was opening, I think, for Cat. Somebody can correct me on that. I was confused on which venue he was at. But nevertheless, they started asking him questions. The big thing that I watched the whole thing, and mostly Wanda was asking him about Tiffany, I was about to say Tiffany Hamilton. I don't know why she's in my head. Shout out to her, music journalist. Tiffany Haddish. She was asking him about Tiffany Haddish. And he, you know, was saying what he felt to be true, but it was mostly, I would say, negative. It wasn't really good, and he didn't really get most of his facts right. And what he was talking about, he started talking about, basically his whole thing with Tiffany was that he didn't feel as though she wasn't a real comedian because she didn't go through the trenches like most comedians did back in the day. I really hate when veteran comedians do that, because I don't want to put, I almost put a name out there, but I'm just saying that those older comedians, veteran comedians, they always try to, they get mad when they see other successful comedians that get on and they feel like they've been overnight and they haven't did all the stuff that they've done to basically be where they're at. And my thing is her start was the same thing as his, because I remember him on Comic View, like years ago, like decades ago, but I didn't really start noticing Cat Williams until, what was it, Friday After Next. That was the, like, when he played that pimp. Like, that was it. Like, that's the first time I ever heard of Cat Williams, and he got started from that movie, just like Tiffany Haddish got started from Girls Trip in terms of mainstream success, because after that, he started doing more TV stuff, and I started seeing him on award shows, and then he had the DVDs and stuff like that came out. But my thing is that he was just talking in the interview. She was just she kept baiting him to say something positive about Tiffany, and then he started saying things that I don't think was factually correct about her marrying a white guy, and then saying that he allegedly beat her in her book, and then saying in the book that he didn't beat her, and then he said some other stuff about how she didn't have a comedy special. She actually done two of them, three comedy specials she's done. And he mentioned that she's been doing comedy since she was 16, but she hasn't did all, basically he's saying she hasn't done all the work. What did you think about that before we get on to the other stuff that he was saying about other comedians?
Wait, what did I think about what part of it?
The Tiffany Haddish one. We're going to get on that, and then we're going to talk about the other comedians that he was talking about.
Okay, it's double-sided for me, because I wanted to agree with a lot of what he said. I mean, he had his facts all wrong. And I think basically what he was trying to do, which I hope, he was trying to say that there are people who've been in the game longer and who deserve that same kind of break. But I didn't like the fact that he had to put down Tiffany and diss her to put the other ladies that he was talking about. I think he mentioned like Melanie Camacho some more, and Adele Gibbons. Like, he didn't have to diss Tiffany to tell people that they're great people. Like, he didn't have to do that. Like, he shouldn't have done that. And then, like you said, he had his facts all wrong. I thought it was hilarious, but he had his facts all wrong.
I just think it's still that same old, like, but I hate when they get on that, because it's people that do that. I hate it when old hip-hop artists do it to the new hip-hop artists. I hate it when that whole conversation with the older R&B singers go with the new R&B singers. I hate the whole conversation.
Right. And
of
I think
that whole thing of that they, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I think part of that problem is, I think, like you said, the old school rappers or the old school comedians, singers, you know, they have to understand that times are different now. Like, when a lot of them were coming up and doing stuff, there was no social media. Now it's easier for people to get their big break. It's not that they don't work as hard. It's just they have more opportunity. That's just the way it is. So I don't see what they gain from putting down or constantly talking about the younger generation. And, I mean, I don't know if you saw where Paul Mooney tweeted about it.
Yeah, I
saw. And Paul Mooney was just like, you know, y'all just all get together and you know, get a comedy channel. Do something.
That yeah, that's and somebody, and he didn't even know about Kevin Hart's network, because, and that's exactly what Kevin Hart's doing with his Laugh Out Loud network. I watch it on YouTube. He has a lot of different content on there, but most of it he features on the actual network, he features actual comedians that are coming up. Like, he's produced, with the network, he produced Little Rose, the one that has his own show on Fox that comes on now through the week or whatever, that just premiered with Sinbad. Sinbad's on the show and plays his dad. He started his comedy special, and then Nesh, I think that's what her name is. Hopefully I ain't saying her name wrong, but it's a lot of comedians I can say that he's actually, gave them their own, 30 minute or hour comedy special, and he's continued to shoot other comedians coming up, and then also veteran comedians. He has it on his network and then on YouTube. Like, you know, he has his channels to where he has comedians, like he does a show, Cold as Balls, and then he has one where he does What the Fit with random celebrities. He had Leslie Jones on the show. He had all kind of different comedians and entertainers on the show, and he's giving them the platform and working with them, like, and
right.
It's a lot of,
and that's what,
that's what Paul Mooney's alluded, and somebody told him about that. He said he had to research it because he didn't even know that existed. And that's
right.
What I'm saying. It's like stuff like that. And he's not out, and Kevin Hart's not out there like broadcasting, like, hey, I got a network here where I'm putting on a lot of comedians that's coming up to do our specials that take a lot of time and effort and money to package it. Instead of going to Netflix, instead of them going to Netflix, they can go to his network to premiere it. You know what I'm saying? And he's helping
right, and
them out and doing
what,
that.
That's what Tiffany should be doing. Like, Kat was on air talking about what, you know, Tiffany not being deserving and all these other people not being deserving. And he was naming all of his accolades and how successful he was. But he didn't once mention doing something. He didn't mention putting other people on. He didn't mention doing these things. So that's why it was kind of ragged.
Yeah, he just says that he put them on tour.
What you don't like.
Right.
Talk how you're trying to change that. Talk about what you're doing. Like, I love that you put other people that you thought were deserving, but you didn't have to put nobody down to do that. And even if you did, you still didn't tell us, well, what are you doing to help make sure these people get put on, besides running your mouth at this interview?
Right, and everybody, and not every comedian's not the same. I'm going to say this. Tiffany Haddish, whether or not you like her comedy or not, it's the same as with Kevin Hart, because they make those same comparisons with Kevin Hart that they don't think she's fun. They don't think he's funny, or they don't think she's funny. It don't even matter, because comedy is subjective, and then it's all about how it's relative to you. And if then it basically relative speaking, that you see something that they say and you see some truth in it and you like it because they remind you of such and such and such. And he also alluded to that anybody, your grandma, your auntie could be funny. I'm like, no, but it's still a craft in it. But the, like you said, this heard the talk about the other, and that's mostly where his, the madness came from, was from that fact that all those people, but we got to be honest, and we have to be, get with this whole Hollywood thing, if we're talking about in terms of that, because he's in the Hollywood
right.
maze as well. And so he has to be honest. Okay, Tiffany Haddish, even though she's about to be 40 soon, I think next year or the year after that, but she's early 40s, she still looks young, and she's pretty. Let's get to this. And that's what they're looking for. Yes, it might be a thing, you know, the hood girl thing might be a coin thing that they can get with, but she just has a positive energy about her, and people, and she's versatile. She has a versatile background. Like, she, you know, she's grew up in a foster home, and she's different homes, and so she has stories for. I can, and he said you can't tell a Tiffany Haddish joke. I know multiple Tiffany Haddish jokes I can quote now from the comedy special, and then jokes she's done before, where she talks about how she was homeless. And it was somebody that used to honk outside of her house. And then when she went to do Def Comedy Jam, she went back to that house. She didn't know that was the house that they were having the Super Bowl party at. And she's like, hey, I used to live here. And he was like, no, you did not live here for 20 plus years. And she was like, no, I used to live outside. Like, you used to honk your car every day and tell me to move off my car. That's funny to me. Like, because it's her life. And then she spun it to where it came back to reality. And it's funny to me. And it's all kind of jokes. And so for him to say that, I just feel like he, like you said, he was trying to downplay her to try to credit the other thing. But we got to get to the game of it is that if you're pretty and you got an audience, she has the audience now from Girls Trip. And so that's what they're looking for. That's what it's about. They want to sell tickets. And a middle-aged black comedian ain't really that. Even though Monique still does stuff, she just did. I mean, she probably hasn't done something, I think, in a couple years. But Monique, you know, was that. And we're not going to sit here and act like Cat Williams was giving us Oscar-worthy movie credits either. At least Tiffany Haddish has the range now if she wanted to do dramas and stuff like that. I don't know anything other than slapstick comedy that Kat has done, or anything besides Friday After Next, to where, or like a scary movie or some shit that he did with Mike Epps, to where like it was still a comedy thing. Like, we're not gonna sit here and act like his image has been like all this like glorified actor, and I didn't like that either, because he seemed, because his journey is basically the same thing as Tiffany Haddish. I just think they just got this. I just feel like all the older comedians, if you have an issue with it, then clearly they cleared it up or whatever, because they were taking pictures at the Emmys recently. It was a picture of him bowing at her feet, because all this happened last Friday and the Emmys happened on Sunday, I think, or Monday, right. Whatever they're calling out or whatever. So, right, exactly. And so, and then Kevin Hart did too, and they just recently, I think the movie comes out next week, Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. So she got a lot of stuff going on. She has two other movies coming up, and she's getting up. I don't understand the hate that's so much for Tiffany Haddish. Like, she's like, to me, I think she's funny. Because, not just because she reminds me of somebody I know, but she's really good at it. And I've actually met her a while back. It was like before she got on. She was doing like big shows as well. Because she was staying at I don't want to get the name out of the hotel, but it's Kempton Hotel in Phoenix. I remember she was staying on the same floor as me, and she was the same person from I saw on her comedy shows and stuff like that. And she's just a nice person, and just she has good energy to her. I just don't see why it's like so much. I guess that's the thing of like when you get successful, you get a lot of haters, but it's a lot more. And the thing is, what's funny is that I see other comedians that I see in interviews that knew her before all of this fame and stuff like that, and actually spoke that she was going to like be getting bigger roles after she did the movie with Jordan Peele. I think it's called Kidu or something. I forgot the name of it. But they said that she was going to be a superstar. And they're still in interviews talking shit about her. And I was like, wow, like, and you're actually friends with her. But I remember she was saying that it was a comedian, I think it was Corey Holcomb, that told her that it was going to be a lot of them that was going to be hating because you got on. And that's what it is. And it's like, that's crazy to me, like how people just, that's my thing. I just feel like they should all rally together. Like, well, I saw Paul Mooney said they all need to rally together and do stuff together. And that's my thought on that.
I get it, like, because I think it's natural for people when that one person, you know, gets put on and they're like the popular person. It's natural to, it's natural to feel a little envy or to wonder why them and right. not you. But, and even though, I'm going to be honest, I agree with a lot of what Kat said. Like, I'm just one of those people who, Tiffany was good in Girls Trip, like she made the movie, but that's Tiffany, I guess. That's who she is. And that's who I've seen. So for me, it gets old, and I'm like, all right, I want something different. But I don't like how he had to put her down. He should have never, even if he felt that way about her or other young comedians, he should have never named names.
I don't like that. I think this is just her first movie. Like, I'm not saying it was like Girls Trip was Oscar worthy or nothing like that. I think it was.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie.
But I'm not gonna say Kevin Hart or something like that, like what people do with him. Like, let him do what he do. Like, keep trying to, you know, work and stuff like that. I ain't mad at that.
The wild thing is, if you remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, Eddie Murphy was back to back with comedy specials and movies. Nobody was hating on Eddie because he was put on. Like, the same thing happened when Chris.
It was rare. That was rare for. Yeah, he was the first one to make that a thing, the comedy specials and stuff.
Yeah, people.
Yeah, like, movies, that whole packaging of comedian. Yeah, because it's such a thing now. Like, everything is such a trend. Like, that's how it started. Like, when Def Comedy Jam was a thing, so many stars came from that, and it all happened in bunches, but all of them worked the same circuit together. And so that's mostly what those older black comedians do, because they didn't come from like just because they didn't went there in the 90s at the Comedy Theater with Robin Harris and all them cats was doesn't like not make them a comedian. And that's just my issue. It's just them feel like they have to go through like so many different things to get on, and they don't like that. So many comedians from whether social media that get opportunities to do shows and that they're on the same booking. I get that. Because most of the time, it's a numbers game, and sometimes that's all they care about. That's a promoter problem. That's not that comedian's problem. I feel like if you got an issue with a social media comedian or whatever, that's getting more money than you because of whatever, then you need to take that up with the promoter that booked you on the same show as them. Like, don't take that out on that person, because if they trash, they're going to be trash with the audience, because you can't fake that in front of the audience. Now, if you do your thing, that's just my thing, and because I see it all the time at venues, they get mad about that. But I'm like, if you go out and do your thing, and then the person that doesn't deserve to be there, they're gonna see that with the numbers, with who's there to see them. It's that simple. But I see a lot of comedians say that in interviews, and that's mostly their gripe with comedians like Kevin Hart, because they feel like they got it just because of the numbers. But I'm like, yo, like he had the work. They all like. I told you the story of Kevin Hart when he came in. Like, he had that same energy when I saw him at Foxhole. He had that same energy, like, in 07, 08 that he did that he has now in terms of his work ethic. He was doing the same thing. But and we're going to get to the actual part. I guess we could get to the comedian. He mentioned Jared Carmichael, Little Rel, and Kevin Hart, I think, as well. And then there was a fourth one. Hannibal Buress. And basically said that they were all ugly. And I didn't like that, because it kind of turned into a colorist thing. And saying that, you know, that's just my thinking, because they're all dark-skinned men. And that equation just feels like a colorism statement. And I didn't care for that, what you said about that.
So for me,
because I like Hannibal Buress. It doesn't have nothing to do with how they look. Is just what is it? What are they saying? And they have great material, so I didn't like that fact either. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? But that's just my thinking.
I think, like, I can really only speak. Well, I've met Hannibal. I initially did not like Jared Carmichael, but I love the Carmichael show. It's crazy. I love that show.
Yeah.
Lil Rel, I don't really know that much about, and everybody knows Kevin Hart. I'm not a huge Kevin Hart fan, but I'm a dark skinned man. And when it came out that he said this and people started saying the colorism thing, I can be honest and say it never even crossed my mind that he was just naming dark dudes. Like, I just thought he was naming people he thought were ugly. And I don't think all of them ugly, but I mean, one or two of them might not be the best looking people.
I mean, yeah.
But
you say they got on because they were, I forgot how he context that, but
yeah,
you say
said
that
they're not attractive and they can be put in all these roles and stuff. But Kat said this, like, he looked like Denzel or something. Like, like what?
I still laugh because Ricky Smalley said he looked like, the older version of Cat Williams. I mean, of Al Sharpton.
I mean, real talk though. Like, that was the wrong battle to pick. Like, you could have, like, okay, I was cool with you talking about them not being funny, because guess what? I think you're funny, Cat. That's your expertise. That's your lane. Being attractive is not your lane. Like,
and then I also think, right. I think the same thing that's Ari Spears said the same thing about, Dave Chappelle, like him not really being funny, or Chappelle, he was saying, referencing that black people didn't really like it until the second season. I'm like, yo,
what?
Like, just because, yeah, and then most of them said that Dave Chappelle, I think it was also another comedian, what's his name, the fat one, Faison, said, it's equated to the same thing, saying that Dave Chappelle wasn't funny to black people. And I'm like, just because they ain't saying, you know what I mean? Like, because when you get in a black audience, you just talk a certain way. And even when I'm around certain people, you cuss more. And you just, it's a little bit more flavor to the context of the words you say. And you just throw it all together and you, like, do kind of, you know what I mean? You just talk a certain way around black people. And just because Hannibal Buress and Dave Chappelle, all them cats, even though Dave Chappelle goes in and out of it, but his is more intellect, but just because they deal more to intellect doesn't mean that doesn't appeal to black people. And I was, that insults me most because they feel like they can only talk a certain way around black people that you can't, and that's what, that, it's basically the equivalent of saying like white people music, black people listen to, that's white people music and black people can't do that
right,
music.
Right, right.
Like what the fuck does that mean? Like that shit pisses me off because it's like basically saying that we're not intelligent enough, that black people aren't intelligent enough to follow Jared Carmichael, whoever, Hannibal Buress and stuff like that. And I would deem them to be, and it's funny that he named those, excluding Kevin Hart, he named those specific, comedians that deal more with intellectual comedy more so than a slapstick comedy that get instant laughs. And that's what I have a problem with.
You just gotta, like, he just gotta realize, like, everybody's not gonna do the same brand of comedy.
Yeah, black people, not all black comedians do the same stuff.
Yeah, if they did, then everybody wouldn't be able to do it because everybody would be doing the same thing. And I'm gonna take it back.
Yeah, that's a jealousy thing.
Because if Kat or, like, you said,
and they're young! Hannibal.
No, you were talking about the people
Jared,
that said Dave wasn't.
Gerard, I think I'm saying it. You said what now?
The ones that you said, they said that Dave Chappelle wasn't funny or something.
Faison said that, but yeah.
If they had that same level of success as somebody like Dave Chappelle or Tiffany Haddish, if they had that quote unquote crossover audience, they would never be saying that. And it's a jealousy thing. You feel like you deserve it more, you funny, and because they got a crossover audience, then they selling out. That's what they like to say. You selling out, are you doing some other stuff? That's not it at all. Everybody just has a different brand of comedy. Some is more slapstick, some is more, you know, like in your face, and some is very intellectual. There's an audience for it all.
Yeah, that's basically what I was saying.
And
to say that, it is just jealousy. And yeah, I didn't care for that. That's why he's in Raggedy News. But then also in Raggedy News is the host of the show B103. He's Frank and Wanda Smith. She's also a comedian. A lot of people don't even know that because they were just saw people on the internet. It was like, yo, this radio host. I'm like, she's also a comedian as well. But we don't get into that. Kat was on the show, like I said, promoting that he was in town to do his comedy show, and so they're asking him questions. And then the whole time, she keeps throwing little stuff out there. And what we call, from where I'm from, we call it talking slick. And you know when people being passive aggressive and trying to throw digs at you, we're trying to cover it up with jokes. But Kat, my kind of, oh, I want to talk how I want to talk, like I do in real life. I think, I don't know how many, cuss words I didn't use. I think I'm gonna use them all in this one, but. Cat Williams, my nigga. That's all I wanted to say. That's what I was trying to prelude from saying. I was like, that's my nigga because he got tired of her throwing little shots at him. First dig was saying, like, prison and stuff, like, throwing little jail jokes and shit like that. And then Cat, she was asking him about his kids, and he pretty much was, like, trying to be done with the conversation, but she kept asking him, well, what kind of food do you make for your kids? And he was like, well, I got 7 kids, so it's 7 different tastes, you know, that you gotta cook to. One of them don't like meat. The other ones like a lot of vegetables. One don't like vegetables and one like meat. And so it's different kind. I make a veggie lasagna and then one, I just give them straight vegetables and they're good. And then he's playing along with it. He's just making fun. And it's like, what do you make for your kids? And he was just trying to keep it lighthearted or whatever. And he was asking her, she was like, oh, my kids, well, what I eat, I make broccoli. And then I was like, because when she said that, I was like, what? I was like, and he said, he was making a joke about it, because I would make a joke about that, too. He was like, oh, because every kid loves broccoli. You just put it in water. He's like, how hard is that? He's just making jokes on it, and she didn't like that. And then it started happening after that, and Frank was trying to go to break at some point, but they just kept going with it, and Wanda was trying to throw jokes out there and saying that, well, you could tell us about jail or something. That's what you could tell us about. That was the first one, and then she hit that button on him, and he just went straight forward. and lit her ass up. And he was like, I think the first one, she started talking about his hair, and he was like, oh, this is 19 inches long. And she was like, oh, let me see. And she's like, he's like, I would like to see you put one of your gnarled fingers. Gnarled. I was done when he said that. I was like, yo, he said gnarled. I love comedians that it's just certain word choices you use that just, it'll make the whole sentence like a thousand times funnier. And when he said gnarled, I was crying. I had to pause the video for like 10 seconds because I had to gather myself. And that was hilarious. He said, put one of your gnarled fingers through here. And she's like, well, come over here so I can, and he's like, no, that's not how that works. And then she started trying to throw jokes and she started talking about how his clothes look old. And he was like, this is Versace, a 2019 collection. And she's like, oh, you had to open it to tell us that. And he was like, no, we're actually on radio, baby, so they can't see it. He's like, we on radio. And then he said, he kept going, and he said she was big on radio. I was like, oh, my God, he killed her. And then he started talking about she got a length, $12 that you could get this whole outfit she got on at Quick Trip. I was like, I'm done. He said, you get that Quick Trip, all that for when you get a Newport 100s for $12. I was like, yo, he's killing her. And then she's in Raggedy News because she gonna blame her co-host for not stopping it. And I clearly remember him trying to go to the producer to go to break once. And then she kept trying to throw jokes at him. And he kept biting her up. Listen, she a comedian, so she don't get no passes with this one. Cause you a comedian. You just lost. And you gotta take that L. That's the premise of that whole interview. She lost. Clearly she can't go back to back without trying to be petty and being nasty with it, cause she's being, them kind of people that do stuff like that, she remind me of people that be trying to say personal shit to you to get under your skin. And then when you get their ass back, they were trying to play like they're a victim. That's basically what she did. Because you started that whole shit because he didn't start. He was actually being light with it because he could have lit you up worse than that because he's being real respectful about it. Because I would have. And then he said her headphones came with her wig came with the headphones. I was dying. Oh, my God. He threw so many jokes out there. I know you said you enjoyed that. I was. Oh, man, so, I was crying. That was so funny.
For several reasons. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah. I got the story of what she did the next day where she had her husband pull. That's why she pulled a gun on him. That's what she's in Raggedy News for that.
I mean,
that's trash.
Number one,
so go ahead.
It was Red Grant's interview. It wasn't even Kat's interview. He was just there to help promote it. They begged
right.
Kat. They kept asking him. So that's why she Raggedy
right.
News asked for it. Number two.
Oh, yeah, he was there for Philip Serena, and then he was there for Comedy Theater. That's what it was.
Yeah. Number two.
Oh, he got her on that one, too. That was hilarious.
When she started with him, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. I was like, oh, they're going back and forth. But then she didn't even, like, she showed that she's a trash comedian, because even when he took his hat off to show her his hair, he had so many jokes that she could have ran on him. Cat Williams' forehead, his hairline looked like a cul-de-sac. His shit looked like Sherman Helms. He had every opportunity. Like, it's like she never played the dozens as a kid. Everybody played the dozens. Like, you go,
hey.
Go for this man. Like, but she couldn't do it. She couldn't handle it. Now, Frank was laughing, but Frank did. He kept saying, oh, I think it's time for us to take a break. I think it's time for us to take a break. But at that point, Cat was riled up, so the producers wanted to keep it going. And then the last point, I'm sorry. Like, I would have played dead if I was her. She should have just played dead. She should have just fell on the ground and played dead because he ate her up and kept going on her. And she kept trying to come back at him. Your jokes are trash. You're not going to win it. So I just would have shut up. She Raggedy. She asked
right.
for it.
Oh, and so TMZ caught up with him and asked him, I'm looking at it, update of it now, and they asked him, did they pull a gun? He's like, if someone did pull out a gun, what would you do that for? If it's not to shoot someone, what is it? And then
yeah,
he said,
I
what
the
gun?
Interview.
So,
yeah.
So, I don't know, but the police department was reporting that he did do it, so I don't know. They said, I don't know if it's a police report or not, but somebody had reported that it did, so I don't know. He ain't pressing charges or nothing like that, so I don't know how far that is, but yeah, if she did do that, have her husband do that, then that's trash as well, because it's jokes. And you, like you said, like we used to call it, we called it ragging, where I'm from, and then we said, bagging on, like, I don't know, people got different, ways they say roasting, but that's all we did growing up. That's, I'm from Midwest, that's all we do is talk shit, and just talk, you gotta be quick with it and fast, and she clearly ain't, she can't, go back and forth, cause it's gotta be a certain kind of person. If you that kind of person that gets sensitive fast, and you, and the first thing you do when you go back, try to get back at somebody is go lowball with it, and throw little, like, nasty shit trying to gut check somebody, when you go lowball somebody, you trash, period, because you're not funny, because it's supposed to be fun back and forth. Even if somebody's saying the worst stuff against you, you're still supposed to just take it on the chin and just come back with some more. That's all it is. I know I roasted my brother, my little brother, when my nephew was born, and he was getting on my nerves because he kept trying to be a comedian, trying to get all the attention and stuff in the room, and I was like, yo, you get it. I was like, dude, what did you, there ain't nobody laughing at what you're saying, so shut up, and everybody started laughing when I said it, because nobody wanted to say it, and so I had to be the icebreaker and put him in check, and then I was like, and then he wanted to start a little roast session. I'm like, bro, don't do this with me, because I do this all day, I'm quick with it. He's like, oh, you're quick with it. He's like, and all his jokes, all he had was call me old. That's all he had was old jokes. I was like, is that all you got? I was like, I can talk about your whole outfit. I was like, you get that $2 at the thrift store. And then everybody was like, oh, they started laughing. And I was just throwing little stuff out there. I was like, you look like Raleigh from the Boondocks. And then I just kept going with it. And I was like, are you done yet? And then they just kept laughing. I was like, yo, I know how to do this. I know how to roast with people. And he was, I was like, see there? I was like, you should shut up and sat there and be quiet. Then he started talking about my Nikes. I was like, you could stay somewhere for a month if you had these Nikes. And then I just kept going with it. That's all you do is just go back and forth. But Wanda, she got lit up on that show. That was hilarious. That was the funniest. I actually want to watch it now just to hear him say gnaw fingers again. That took me out. But, I think that's all of Raggedy News. And then just little, I only got a little bit because I want to leave because I almost fell off this chair over here laughing. But, Michael Che on the Emmys, he hosted it with another Caucasian man. I don't know who it is. But I thought that segment was funny when they did this little spoof or whatever of, giving out, what's it called? They called it
the Reparation Emmys.
Reparation Emmys. And it was mostly to black actors like, Kadeem Harrison, from a different, that played, Dwayne Wade on Different World. And Marla Gibbs from The Jeffersons that played Florence. Then, Pam that played, they gave her two for, I mean, just for everybody hates Chris and Martin. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's that card?
John Witherspoon too.
Yes, it was a lot. What's that card? Did I say Gina?
No,
I don't know what I said.
Pam, but that was the character. Yeah,
oh, my bad. Right. I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say her real name. I think I was trying to say actress that played.
Yeah, no.
But I thought that was real good. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I was going to give a congrats to Regina King for winning. I think she was really surprised she got that for her role in that Netflix TV series.
Seven Seconds, I think it's called.
Yes, yeah. So shout out to her. I didn't really watch it. Yes.
I didn't watch it. I watched the reparations skit because I thought that was funny. And I love that he did that. And part of what he did with that skit was he was giving away Bill Cosby's Emmys.
Right.
So they was reading the Emmys and they was all for like some Bill Cosby work. But I think I didn't see all the winners, so you know, I know Tiffany and Kat both won and Dandy Newton won for her work on Westworld on HBO. And then I saw Regina, her acceptance speech, and she did look so surprised. But I didn't see anyone else. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Right, me neither. But yeah, shout outs to all the winners. For the Emmys, the black, everybody black.
That's right.
But, just a little bit before we leave, cause we gotta leave, cause, my side is killing me. But, Jemele Hill is narrating LeBron James' upcoming documentary called Shut Up and Dribble. I'm really interested in, Yeah, I'm interested in what he's talking about on there. It's so weird how I like him off court. I mean, yeah, off court more than on court, but that's so odd. Yeah, we had ended a Soul Savage radio show. I have to make a couple of announcements. Next week, we're going to take a little quick hiatus, but we will be, I'll be live in, at Ice Event Center Grill in Oklahoma City. I should have the promo graphic up, this weekend and more details on that. But yeah, can't look forward to it. I feel like it's going to be a great show. We have that tape for you and on the website on soul7s.com and also posting last week's show. And then also I will be on vacation for, the first 2 weeks in October. So I will be gone. I will be, well, yeah, the next time y'all hear my voice is on October 18th. I think that's the next date. But yeah, I'll be gone. So yeah, I'm going to have fun. My savvy heathen talk is don't be a Wanda Smith and get lit up, get a verbally, handed your ass to you. So don't get a verbal assault, roast happen to you by trying to talk slick. If you just watch your mouth, or the real savvy heathen talk is you should watch your mouth. That should be just a general moral to that whole story. Just watch your mouth, because people ain't gonna take it. I know EB, I talk a lot of junk to Will, because I know you can take it. I know you can go back and forth. Now Will got sensitive and just started cussing me out on air. He don't do that though.
No.
Because I throw all kind of Pinot Grigio jokes and all this stuff. EB, I talk about, his fishnet condoms, single he got out. He don't ever throw no jokes out there. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, I like back, it's like clean, good fun. And you can't go low ball and get mad, because then you're a sucker. Don't be a sucker like Wanda Smith. You got a savvy heathen talk, EB?
I do, and I'm going to do it different this week. I'm just going to, I'm going to read something really quick, an excerpt from Stormy Daniels' upcoming book, where
wow.
She describes that man that lives in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm just going to read this quick little excerpt. She says, his penis is distinctive in a certain way, and I think that's one of the reasons he initially didn't tweet at me like he does so many women. He knew I could pick his member out of a lineup. He knows he has an unusual penis. It has a huge mushroom head, like a toad scoop. And then she compared it to Mario Kart, the mushroom Mario. So that's my savvy heathen talk.
Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
Dang, you can't even pick his penis out far away. You gotta zoom, you gotta do a zoom, up to see that. You don't need bifocals to look at that if it's that small. Wow.
Oh my God.
Dang.
Well?
The orange, he an orange peanut for real.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
And Evie.
So Savage Radio, y'all. And I will be, well, they'll be back, October 4th. I will be gone, so y'all better watch out. I'm just going to say, don't make me come back in. I might do a Wanda Smith. So I hear it, but y'all ain't talking right. Don't make me roll up on y'all.
All right.
Call in. Y'all be listening. Nah, I'm kidding. Y'all have fun. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have a good time going to Santa Barbara again, and should be having fun. Great trip. A lot of grown folks activities happening. Yeah, y'all get some nice, safe sex going on, y'all. That's another savvy heathen talk. Safe sex and just positivity going on for everybody. Go grab some balls like EB said. We out, y'all. Soul Savage Radio. We out, y'all.
EB, you have plenty of material.
Soul Savage Radio. Go grab some cojones. We out.
You've been listening to the Soul Savage Show.
Hey,
here on Studio W.
September 21st, y'all. 8:25. Yeah. Do you remember?